Second down and six for the Eagles. The ball at the 7-yard line. Hurts again in the gun. Barkley to his right. Does he come back to Barkley again? He doesn't. He backpedals. He steps up. He looks. He is tackled. It's a safety. He's tackled in the end zone for a safety. The sixth sack. Oh, that's the worst thing that could happen.
Yeah,
right,
that's
there.
Yeah, that was not great. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillian. Not what you want to see. They overcame it. They won the football game thanks to three huge runs. One by Jalen, two by Saquon. The Eagles are now a win away from the Super Bowl. 215-592-9494. There's a lot of uncertainty around Jalen Hurts' knee. We'll see if he practices tomorrow. Limited full, how it goes over the course of the week. But there's a real chance, I would say, that he's limited mobility-wise. He's not the same runner as he normally is. Can they win this game on Sunday without his legs? I say no. I think he's going to have to make plays with his legs in the run and the pass game to get away from pressure and to help Saquon. Hugh thinks they could do it, even if Jalen is really a stationary quarterback. Where do you come down? First, though, let's hear what they were talking about yesterday, ESPN, NFL Live. First, Mina Kimes, then we'll get to Dan Orlovsky, what she thinks, what she saw against the Rams and how it looks moving forward.
Jalen Hurts didn't have to do a lot in this game, but the passing game obviously has to be better for them to win a Super Bowl. And one thing specifically that jumped out to me watching this, there's a lot we can get into about Hurts and his performance. Simulated pressures gave him fits in this one. Outside of the Hail Mary, on half of the sacks, there was some sort of defender dropping from the line of scrimmage, and it gave Jalen Hurts pause after the snap, and that was enough for the Rams to get home. If I'm Dan Quinn watching this,
yep,
I implement a heavy dose of simulated pressures when I go up against this Eagles team. And by the way, if they get past them, I can tell you that Steve Spagnuolo or Sean McDermott and his defense are going to do the same.
Yeah, Hugh, it seemed like some of those, he almost felt pressure, and it really wasn't quite there as much as it was in his mind, and then he kind of ran into pressure.
Mm-hmm.
He does that sometimes.
Yeah.
He'll think pressure's there, and he'll kind of move, and then it creates new pressure that wasn't there to begin with.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's one of those things where Jalen has to get rid of the ball. He has to throw on time. You know, Coach Saban mentioned something to that effect when he was talking about Jalen. Jalen has to get rid of the ball, man. And I think, to Ike's point, that having an injury might speed that clock up for you just a little bit. But they also got to help him out, too. They got to put him in positions to let him know that the ball needs to be out quick. And
call plays
for it. Yeah, call plays like that, man. Because it was a couple times I did not understand why the dude just got hurt and you saw him getting up hobbling, that you would call a back-to-back, like you would call a pass play in that situation. I understand you were backed up and everything, but still.
Well, and then the last play they threw it, when they had him roll out. I mean, they were rolling out on a bad wheel. I mean, trying to just run the football and get out of that game. All right, Dan Orlovsky followed up Mina there. And you remember, last week Dan said he didn't feel like there were guys open. That was the Packer game. Well, what did he think after watching the Ram game? Was that on Jalen? Was it on nobody open? Coverage? Let's listen to Dan Orlovsky yesterday talking about Jalen Hurts and what he saw against the Rams.
Obviously, 63 yards lost with those seven sacks. You know, last week we had the conversation where we're like, I felt nobody really got open. Green Bay defensively knew where they were going to be. Wasn't the case yesterday. I honestly believe that guys were there. Yeah. I honestly believe more often than not, Jalen looked through the right direction. For some reason, he just didn't throw the football. Now, I don't know if it's a weather thing, it's a risk-averse thing, it's a don't give the ball away and we'll win thing, it's a I'm not trusting what I'm looking at, confidence or lack thereof situation. I agree it's got to get better. I don't think it's going to with a week and or two remaining for this offense.
Well, that part is the most interesting to me at the end. Like, can they change it in a week, right?
Nah.
Like, so it is what it is, the pass game?
I mean, it is, man. I think it could be better. But we're asking that this is almost the equivalent of getting another kicker this late in the game. You got to kind of dance with what brought you here, man, and deal with some of the deficiencies, if you will, that our quarterback has. Now, this is a fluid situation. Now, I feel like as we progress through this, it can get better. But if you're asking me today, in order for us to advance and get to the Super Bowl, it depends on Jalen to get the job done with his legs. I don't believe that that's the case. I really don't. I don't think that, you know, Jalen's going to have to make plays, but I don't think that we need Jalen to be the runner that for a lot of people that they felt that he was last week. I don't think that that needs to be the case. Jalen being out, let me tell you one thing that I do know, is that Jalen being out there on the field, whether or not he can do it, is a threat. And he has a certain aura about him that's going to command respect. Kind of the same way with A.J. Brown. You know, even though A.J. has not been the receiver that we would like him to be in this playoff series, he still commands that respect where teams still double-team him, and they're not going to leave him one-on-one for too long because they're afraid of what would happen if he is healthy. So that's the type of respect that Jalen's going to have. Just like when you talk about the last time we played, like the defensive end was crashing down. Jalen being out there, they're not going to do that until they know for sure that Jalen can't run.
Yeah, but what if they do know for sure? I mean, like,
I mean, they might take chances, and you know what? What happens? Say this happens, Joe. The end crashes down. Say Jalen takes off and runs. Now, he might not run with the same effectiveness that he's ran with in the past, but he runs. Now, in the defense's mind, they can't do that anymore. They got to honor that because if he gets to the edge and if he's fast enough to beat that defensive end, then he's gaining yards.
Yeah, so of course. Sometimes I think we almost underrate Jalen's running ability. He's not Lamar, but it's a huge part of his game. I mean, this year at 150 carries for 630 yards. I mean, did he run after the injury on Sunday? They didn't even use him as a tush push. They tried to avoid that.
No, they rolled him out a few times.
They rolled him out, but they didn't.
And that proved to be dumb.
It did. And I wondered on the tush push, my thought was, could he not power in his legs because of the knee injury? I mean, they had the ball on the goal line, and that's always the tush push,
also,
and they didn't use it.
And this isn't to take anything away from Saquon. There have been instances this season with Jalen Hurts out there with his threat to run the ball that Saquon's been shut down. The Browns game, granted earlier in the season, but the Steelers game, they averaged 3.4 yards per carry in that Steelers game. And now, that's a good defense, but it's not impossible for somebody to key in on Saquon, even with Jalen Hurts' running threat there. So, like, that's where my worry comes in, is if they're able to do that, and it could be due in part to Jalen Hurts not being effective as a runner, I just don't know if we're going to be able to keep up.
Well, and then I also just think about Jalen in the pass game. If he can't move, are we going to take a lot of sacks again? I mean, part of the reason they don't take many sacks is he moves out of the way. I mean, he holds the ball a long time.
And I shouldn't say, like, keep up necessarily. I don't know. I don't expect Washington to come in this game and score 40 points like they did against the Lions. It's more about, like, are we going to be coming in here next Monday, like, just super frustrated about this offense and not being able to move the ball at all? Because we might not need 35 points to win this game. Are we going to be able to score 24, 27?
It's so interesting. That's the number. Hugh, first number in your head right now. How many points do they need to win this game? 24 is in my head.
24 is in your head.
Like,
I can see that. About,
like, the Commanders
points,
are getting to 23. And then it's about like where the Eagles are getting to.
I don't think they're going to get that many points. I see them around 17.
The Rams got to 22 in a snowstorm.
I do not care about what they did with the Rams. I'm talking about this team right here because I feel like we match up extremely well with them. It's different when you play teams in your division. And it's not.
That's a good point, yeah.
It never plays out the way that you think it's going to play out.
Third time seeing them.
Man, I tell you. And like I said, they benefited tremendously. You know why the Commodores looked so good last week against the Detroit Lions? Is because they were able to run the ball. And when they ran the ball.
But they always run the ball.
Well, they didn't run the ball that well against us. Not the first time.
Not the first time. Now, that was with Jaden Daniels with a rib injury.
Yeah.
Remember, he didn't move. The second time we played them,
And I have to be careful because I'm not trying to diminish what the Washington Commodores have accomplished. I'm not doing that. But what I'm saying is they have some injuries on their side of the ball, too.
Yeah, their guard is out. Their right guard.
He's gone.
Yep.
That's a problem for them. And when you talk about being able to throw the ball at the clip that they were throwing it at, nobody on that Detroit Lions team resembles Jalen Carter. They ain't got one of those.
No, they don't.
They ain't got a Nolan Smith. They had one, but he was hurt. They ain't got none of that. That's not – those opportunities and those runs that they were making – they're not going to be there.
So I agree.
They're not readily going to be there like they were the week before.
I agree, but it's not like this is the first time they've scored. I mean, they're averaging 32 a game for the last 7 weeks. They score on everyone.
No, I mean, I get it, and I'm not trying to diminish anything that they've accomplished. But if I'm the offense coordinator, if I'm Cliff Kingsbury, I'm trying to figure out a way to stop Jalen Carter. And he ain't the only. Nolan Smith doing his thing.
Oh, I mean, this is. And Zach Bond.
Whether or not you believe it or not, big play back there, big play Slay back there balling.
Yeah, well, he is.
There are some guys out here that we have playmakers on every level. They don't have enough people, in my mind, that can be able to contend and have enough blockers for everybody. You need like 13 people to block the guys that we have up front. They don't have it.
All right, Twitter question sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about schedule your evaluation, PIDentalCenter.com. Do the Eagles need Jalen Hurts' running ability to beat Washington on Sunday? How about these results? And there's a good amount of votes in early here. 74% say yes. What is that saying? 74% say people think they need his legs.
You know what's funny? These are probably the same cats that have been talking about, oh, we need him to throw the ball a lot more. Ain't none of these quarterbacks last week threw the ball, like any of the ones that have been in this situation before, threw the ball a whole lot.
I read it a lot differently.
But let me say this. It's okay if he throws it 20 times, but he broke a 44-yard run.
I get that.
But what is Jalen right now without his legs? I know your point is Saquon. What is Jalen without his legs?
What you've been calling him all season long, game manager.
But I think he's just a very ordinary quarterback.
I think that.
He's Kenny Pickett.
I think, you know what's funny, and this is no disrespect to our listeners, but I think that when you say without his legs, people are being literal when they hear that.
I didn't put his legs on the pole, I said running ability.
No, let me
tell
you.
So we can avoid that.
Because they can't separate, they can't differentiate.
No, running ability.
Ability on the pole.
But when they hear it, they feel like Jalen's going to be a statue back there. Like, he's not going to be that. He's not going to be that, Joe. If Jalen is out there and he's being a statue, then that means he's a lot worse off than we think he is. I feel like Jalen's probably going to be out there with a brace. He's going to have the ability. He might not be able to run like he did last, break off the 40-yard run, but he's still going to be a threat to run. Mm. And that to me is a viable factor in this game.
My first thought of those poll results were not what Hugh said. Mine were, these are the same people that tell us not to worry about the passing game. I'm saying, like, if these are the same people who are telling me that Hurts can throw his way to win, like we've been asking all season long, right? It's not that they can't do it. It's just that they don't because they have Saquon Barkley. Well, you know what? Now they might have to. And you're telling me that 73% of these people worry about losing to the Washington Commanders at home, who we were better than this season. If Jalen Hurts can't run the ball, I find that very interesting.
It changes a lot. That's the way I've it.
Interesting.
Can Saquon run for three home runs and win this game? Yeah, we've seen it all year. I mean, he certainly has. You said this earlier, Hugh. He may have one more great one in him, and they might need it. I find it to be a different game if Jalen can't run. It's such a huge part of his game. Let's go to Walt in Jersey. What's up, Walt?
Walt.
Yeah, how you doing? First time caller here.
Hey, Walt. What's up, buddy?
First, I want to direct this to Hugh. He said Commodores a number of times. That's a singing group, so if they're playing
them. That's right.
Them,
yeah, Hugh gets that wrong all the time.
Come on, Walt, we've been working on it with him.
Walt, I know this is probably your first time calling, but I know you've been listening long enough to know that's I'm going to say Commodores, and I'm going to keep saying Commodores, and if you don't like it, with all due respect, I can't do nothing about that. I've been doing that forever.
Yeah. He said it to a Commanders fan last week.
I said it to B. Mitch, and B. Mitch gets mad at me when I say that. But I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, I know. I understand. I'm just trying to joke around a little bit.
No, you're good.
I've been a long time Rams fan ever since the days of Roman Gabriel, Merlin Olsen, Deacon Jones, Shaq Snow, and what I saw at that game. I saw the Rams putting up a good fight. There were a lot of people who thought they wouldn't put up a good fight. If one of the three things that I'm mentioning wasn't going to happen, I think the Rams would have won that game. If they would have stopped one of the long runs, if the turnovers were eliminated by the Rams, and if they block Jalen Carter, I think the Rams would have won that game. Of course, you know, that's after the fact, but I think they would have won that game because they had the momentum and they were driving down the field. And if they block it, because Higbee was open.
Well, he was. Yeah, I mean, what was interesting, Walt, the more I thought about it and kind of rewatched some of it, I mean, the Rams, they did a pretty good job on Saquon, like, I don't know, 90% of his runs. But two of them, He broke it. I mean, that's been
a beautiful thing about the running game, boy. That's how.
Can you rely on home runs in the run game? It's not really the way the run game works.
I know this is old school, and a lot of people won't remember this, but that's how the Pittsburgh Steelers used to play all the time. Like that, I remember
but
being in games.
Home runs?
I remember being in games against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and for them in the first half, the run was tough sledding until the second half, and then that's when you start to break the game open. It's like chopping a tree. And the more you chop at that tree, it's gonna fall.
Sure, but I think it's pretty rare we're seeing this many 50-plus yard touchdown runs. It's hard to remember many years with a running back doing it this often. But Walt, I mean, the bottom line is the Eagles did make those plays. I mean, that's how you win the game. You got to make
the
plays.
He's special.
Yeah, that's part of the game. But on Sunday's game, if Jalen is, he has to be somewhat mobile because it's more than just run. You have to plant, push off, side to side type of thing. And that's his game. If he can't do that, if I'm Washington, I'm going to load that box up more often than not and let him beat me with his arm. Saquon might be able to get through six or seven defenders, and he's done, I guess, a few times, but he can continue to do it. I would make him beat me with the pass. And it seems like A.J. Brown, when he gets a little disgruntled, he doesn't play like he normally does. I've noticed that. So he can't get the ball all the time. He's got to realize that. So I think of Cooper Kupp for the Rams. That guy's I thought he's a good receiver. I still think he's got abilities left in him, but he does a lot more stuff. He's quiet. He blocks. He does what needs to be done, get done out there. And sometimes you got to suck it up a little bit.
Yeah, the A.J. thing is weird, Walt. Well, we appreciate the phone call. I mean, it's been oddly quiet for too many weeks now.
He's been doing that, though. But A.J. go out there and do his job. He blocked. Been blocking.
Job's not to block.
No, but I mean, I'm saying he's talking about the sacrifices.
Oh,
that
yeah,
Cooper
no, AJ Cup blocks.
Made.
AJ blocks.
Makes sacrifices.
Devontae blocks. I mean, that's part of the reason they break all these big runs. I mean, these receivers definitely go block down the field without question. Let's go to Chris in Harrisburg. Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Appreciate you guys.
Hey, what's up, Chris. What's up, buddy?
Love your show, and you're always on my prayers with your family and everything.
Well, thanks, brother. I appreciate it.
Dig it, man. This is I agree with you, man. The Redskins or the Commodores want to win this game. Their objective is to stop Barkley. And I guarantee you that's what they're talking about right now.
That's the only thing they're talking about. Stopping him.
If they can't stop him, then that's us, man. I know Jalen's hurt. He's probably still got other things that are all banged up. But everybody on this team is banged up. So are the Commodores. All them guys are all banged up too. So we got to take care of business. And whoever got tickets down there in Philly, do not sell them to Redskins fans or Commodore fans. Don't do it.
Don't do it. We need a true home field, full building.
Absolutely. I was at the game this weekend, and we got some crazy-ass fans. I'm telling you what. I was freezing, and I was in my snowmobile boots. I was in my ski pants and my snowmobile jacket. I was warm and sweaty.
It's going to be brick this weekend, too, ain't it? It's going to be a little brick.
Oh, yeah. Not quite like last week, but yeah.
There were people with no shirts on. Chris Long's kids had no shirts on up in the blue. There were guys. It was like crazy, man. It was the best game I was ever at. I was at a lot of games. I'm only 59, but I was at the vet watching games. But our fans got to come in full force. Man, if I give you an Eagles. E-A-G-L-E-S.
See, that's a prime example. We need to clip that off.
That's a strong one.
And give it to other people that need to just slow down, dog, when you do the cheer.
You know what?
Just slow down.
Just think about it before.
Just think about it.
We all know how to spell it. It's just a matter. Chris, good job there. You know what I like about Chris? He asked if he could do it.
He did it.
But he didn't finish the sentence. It seemed like
Can I give an Eagles?
Can I give Eagles chance? I was waiting for the chant. I was going to say, of course, and then I didn't respond.
He was going to say, yeah, anyway, so it didn't.
I mean, no, of course we're going to say yes. It's just, can I give an Eagles? E! I mean, he just started going right into it. So, I mean, that's a good one.
You got to start with that strong E, man.
You need to strike. You know the story of my L, right? Back in the day?
Yeah, that was a horrible L.
Well,
though.
Okay. Again, it wasn't my fault because I was asked just to scream the letter L. It flows, right? The Eagles chant flows. As we know, every week at the pregame show and anytime someone does it on the air, it flows. If you just asked in the hallway, hey, Joe, can you just scream L for me?
Nobody gave you the context of what they wanted the L for. They just said, say L. And you just say L.
I mean, it was a long time ago, but I believe it was like, can you just yell L for me? So I said, you know, I screamed L, and it didn't sound right because it wasn't in the context of the whole
I would just
word.
Say as a side note, you have to, anytime anybody asks you to yell any of those letters, A, G, L, E, whatever, just do it with the like you're doing the Eagles' chance, just to be on the safe side.
And then have them clip the letter they want? Yeah, that's a good idea. You're right about
that. Like, if you even say it in your mind, say E, and then you say A, L, G, and you're like, whatever.
Yeah. Oh, Devin's? Yeah. Yeah. We've had some tough ones around here. And we've had X-Eagles.
Y'all didn't catch that. I spelled Eagles wrong. Just like that. See, I got caught. I said E-A-L-G. Y'all ain't catch that, did you? Yeah, I caught that.
Kyle, I'll go back and get the audio. You just started the show.
I started talking about it. See, because I got caught in the moment. Y'all ain't even catch that. I spelled it wrong.
Oh, you proved your own point.
You got to get caught in the moment.
You went too quick.
Yeah, you go too fast, man. You got to slow that thing
down. What are we doing? You can't spell it wrong.
I think I just spelled it wrong.
Let's talk to Sean in Redding. What's up, Sean?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Hey, Sean.
So, I love you guys.
But
you need Jalen's leg. That's the threat. That's what helps bring Saquon open. If we don't have that threat, they can hone in on Saquon. So we need complementary football all the way around.
Sean, can I ask you a question? Are we if Jalen's out there, don't you think if he's out there that he's going to be a threat to run? Or wouldn't you perceive him to be a threat to run?
Not until I see it. They already know he's injured, so he has to show them. Look at last week. Until he broke that run, they were planning on honing in just on Saquon. That gives the defense a little bit more hesitation if they know Jalen's 100%. So if they know he's hampered at all, they're going to load the box, and it's going to make Saquon's job harder. Nobody's saying don't lean on Saquon. He's a beast. But we also got to conserve him. Like, we can't risk him getting hurt, or we're going to have a problem there.
Sean, what at this point, what are we conserving him for? Because I look at it like this. Whatever happens after this game, we got 2 weeks to get ready. Now, barring any serious injury, you don't think that the way that Saquon has been running all season long and the way he's been taking care of his body, that we can't lean on him a little bit more than we've leaned on him any other point in this season for the last game? For the last – Sean, this is for a trip. Sean, this is for a trip to the Super Bowl. This is for a trip to the Super Bowl. So now – wait a minute, Sean. I'm going to let you speak. But so you're telling me – for a trip to the Super Bowl, we want to go into this last game before the Super Bowl and be conservative? We want to put it on Jalen's legs? That's what you're telling me? That's what we're doing?
No, I'm saying you're misinterpreting. You're trying to twist things.
I'm not twisting anything. Sean, I'm not twisting anything. You told me. You just said.
No, I just said you Saquon, but we gotta have the threat of Jalen's ability.
But no,
to
but
move.
You said you did use the word Saquon.
Conserve. Yeah, Sean, good.
What are we saving?
I'm all for spin Dr. Douglas. I don't think that you spun Dr. that one. I don't think that's what happened.
No, listen, I understand where people are coming from, but because I feel like nobody understands my perspective. What I'm saying. If Jalen plays Sunday. Mm-hmm. If Jalen's out there, I expect Jalen to do everything that Jalen needs to do to win the football game.
I'm sure he will.
That's even, Joe, not to cut you off, that's even if he has to be a threat to run, he's going to do that. But do I need Jalen to do that in order to win the game? No. I need Jalen. Like, it's almost like this. You say a case of emergency, break glass.
Yeah.
Run when you have to. Yeah. I don't need you to just be running.
That might be the way this has to go, Sunday. 215-592-9494. Are coming up. Your phone calls on this. Do the Eagles need Hurts' legs to win this game? We're unsure if he's going to have his normal running ability because of the knee injury. Your phone calls and Sirianni this morning on with Joe and John. You'll hear it next. Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Oh, I caught that.
It's part of the theme of the day. Welcome back.
Better not be standing around.
Well, I mean, if he's immobile, he's going to stand around. I mean, what do you expect him to do, Hugh? He's got a bad wheel. Welcome back.
Hey, you better do enough.
What's enough?
You know, you can take off and run a couple. You know, you can run a couple plays. I don't expect, like, I'm not thick. I don't expect Jalen to be. Oh, look at that! Y'all done took that and ran with it. I didn't mean.
I'm not slow.
I'm not slow.
I know.
You know what I mean? They got thick wood hard. I'm not slow. But Jalen, when I think of it, say for instance, and I always try to integrate myself into these moments, thinking about what it would be like or what I think the defensive meeting would be if Jalen is playing, if we're playing against a guy like Jalen Hurts. Now, if he's out there, he's a threat. Now, to Carla's point, yeah, you have to make him – he has to show me that he can do it. But how many times – does he have to run outside the perimeter if I'm knifing inside as a defensive end to make me stop doing that? Because, see, I think people tend to forget. He's not a Peyton Manning back there. He's not a statue. He has enough mobility that if it, and I don't know what the severity of his injury is, but I feel like if he's out there, he has enough ability to escape and get to the edge and gain a few yards. That's enough.
So I hope, but I don't know if he's going to have that. I mean, I don't know what it's going to look like.
I think he will.
They didn't even run the tush push. And again, they may have been uncertain of what the injury was. He may have been in pain. This week, we'll see how this week goes along. Nick Sirianni, you're going to hear his whole interview with Joe and John coming up in a few minutes. He said we'll see. I'm just saying, if they don't have any running ability from him Sunday, I think this is going to be a big challenge.
See, and that's the thing. I think there will be. I think if Jalen's out there, then that's on the table, because the one thing that you never do as a professional athlete, injuries are not a fact. They're not an excuse when you're out there on the field. So if Jalen's out there, people are thinking about like the offense might be limited to a certain extent, but I don't think it's going to be limited to the point where Jalen can't roll out of the pocket or Jalen can't extend a play or things of that nature. I think that's what when people say that or think that, that's what they're thinking. I think some of those plays where Jalen runs the ball, that's instincts that take over.
Sure.
It might be designed, but some of that's instincts.
Oh, I think so too.
He does what he feels is right in the moment. I don't think he's going to be that guy as far as instincts are concerned, as far as taking off and running it down the field for 40 yards. But as far as his mobility is concerned and things of that nature, I think he can do that.
Let's go to Terrence in Springfield. What's up, Terrence?
Hey, Joe Kyle. What's up, man?
Hey, Terrence. What's up, buddy?
Now, I feel like he has to use his arms and his legs. But here's the thing. I was saying yesterday how Jalen Hurts, he's not a gunslinger and all that. So he's gonna have to find a way, like you said, they're going to test him from the beginning of the game. If he's in the RPO and he had to hand the ball up to Saquon, or he got to keep it himself, they're going to test him. They're going to crash down. And they're going to test that nigga and see if Jalen Hurts can run. And I feel like the last game, I know, Joe, you said that he gave up. He had 7 sacks, but he couldn't move. I feel like that was the offensive line worst game of the season. On some of them plays, Virch was getting through. He was beast mode on them guys for a rookie, and I was kind of let down at our offensive line. I know it was snowing. I know they're saying the foot traction, but he was getting through whenever he wanted. One play that when he got in the end zone on the safety, Cam Jurgens got knocked back. He got young ball, pretty much. He got sun. And let me put all the X factors in the game. AJ Brown dropped the touchdown. We had the kicker. Made 2 extra points and a field goal. Lane Johnson caught the touchdown. And I said Cam Jurgens on the safety. Like you said, we got to score. And I feel like 24 points is the ceiling. I feel like our defense can hold it down. But we got to be careful, man, like what we asked for. We've been criticizing Jalen all year, and we're one critical play where if Jalen Hurts gets hurt, we're going to see Tanner McKee or Kenny Pickett in a game.
Well, so, Terrence, I was afraid we were going to see it Sunday. I mean, when he came down with that knee, I was like, oh, no.
You're about to see Kenny Two Gloves.
Yeah, it's about to be Kenny Two Gloves time.
I'm so tired of hearing everybody criticizing Jalen. Like, be careful what you ask for. Be careful how much you criticize, because – sooner or later, you might get your wish.
Well, yeah, and also, without his legs, Terrence, good phone call as always, without his legs, like, it's part of who he is. Like, we can't separate Jalen's mobility from the player he is. That's why he's as good as he is. It's not because just his arm. It's also because of his legs. All right, let's hear Nick Sirianni this morning on with John and Joe. Talk about Hurts, the game, Jake Elliott, all of it. Here it was this morning.
About that game and more, let's talk to the Eagles head coach as the Birds continue to march on. Of course, the Eagles in Washington on Sunday. And congratulations goes out to the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, Nick Sirianni. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Nick, congrats on the win. I mean, what was the experience like for you coaching in that game? The crazy weather, the adversity, the intensity, pulling it out. What was it like to coach in a game like that from your perspective?
You know, we treat every game exactly the same. I know that's boring, but we treat every game exactly the same. Now, that doesn't mean that when the snow's on the ground, it doesn't bring you back to childhood memories of how cool it would be to play and coach in those days or in those things, but and in those elements. But we, you know, we went about our business, played the game how we needed to play the game to win, and it's fun. You know, it was a great win, and it's kind of cool to see the guys, you know, celebrating in the snow after they make plays, and all it did is make us hungry to get another one.
Nick, in a fourth quarter scenario like what it became in the final couple minutes, do you have time to be nervous? And what I mean by that is, like, millions of us were living and dying with every play. We don't have to call signals or, you know, substitutions. Like, do you have time? Do you feel nervous in moments like that? Or do you just have to stay so locked in that that perspective doesn't even enter your mind?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I think, your nerves come before the game. Once you get in the game, you're in your routine. You're in the things that you do. You go through your process. So your mind is locked in on – it can't be locked in on being nervous because you're locked in on what you have to do and what the guys are doing and how you need to win the football game. Now, to that, you know, my brother was talking to me and said, you know, I just walked around the city for about – he wasn't at the game. He was with his daughter in Columbus, Ohio. He's like, I just walked around the city of Columbus for the last 2 hours pacing because I couldn't watch the game. So I think that's more of a you know, a spectator thing, I think, at the end of the day, because, you know, you have to be so locked in and focused on what you have to do to help your team win, playing, coaching, everything. And so you don't have time to do that. And so you're just locked into the moment at the end of the day.
Nick, we watched Jalen Carter locked in, and he's just good beyond good, like legendary good. How different is it coaching a guy like that, a legendarily good guy?
Yeah, you know, he made some huge plays in that game, and it just in huge moments. He's special. And I think the things that – obviously he's highly talented – and with his athletic ability, with his size, with his, you know, everything. But what goes unnoticed, I think, sometimes is his football IQ and his football instincts. I think that takes him to another level of, you know, the type of player that he is. He just has great instincts to where the football is, how to get to the quarterback, how to get to the quarterback on a single team, how to get to the quarterback on a double team. You know, how to take the football away. And I think those things are the things that have made him, have a special year. And he just continues to get better. Again, you combine talent with toughness. You combine talent with football instinct. You combine talent with, you know, loving the game of football. And you're going to get a guy that continues to get better. And I think that's what we're seeing with Jalen.
Yeah, you talk about instincts, and then you can talk about study. And what we saw from Jalen was changing the play at the line of scrimmage. You know, our quarterback is studied up and getting in the right play at the right time. Coach, if you had to guess, what percentage of the time does Jalen end up changing stuff up at the line of scrimmage?
You know, quarterback has to do a lot at the line of scrimmage. He has to get the protection call from the offensive line. He's got to change things there. You know, sometimes it's not just changing a play. You know, sometimes it's changing, you know, the direction the line may be going
sure.
in. You know, and so that's pretty standard. And I think that, you know, he does a lot of things well to get us in and out of plays. And I think that's, you know, that's really a tribute to Jalen and how his mind works at the line of scrimmage. And so he's just done a great job of helping us get into in and out of right plays to help us. You know, I know, you know, there's run looks that he gets us into a certain look that allows those to go for a big play. It's never just one person in this game that makes big plays happen, right? It takes everybody. It takes the entire team. And that's what's so cool about football. And Jalen's doing a really nice job of getting us in and out of plays.
And I agree. And we saw a lot of him doing the conservative thing in this game, changing the plays but doing conservative things. And it felt like he was eating it so often against the Rams. Why did it feel like he was eating it instead of throwing it away more often than not?
You know, Jalen's made so many plays, extending plays. And I think that sometimes, you know, you see a sack and you're like, man, the sack, that killed us, that sack, right? And it's never just one thing of why a sack happens, right? There's many things that contribute to a sack. But Jalen knows he can get out of a lot of things, and he has gotten out of a lot of things, meaning he's been able to extend plays so well, you know, and extend plays and throw the ball down the field, extend plays and run the ball down the field. Sometimes those get overlooked. Okay, we took five sacks or whatever it was, seven sacks in the game. But how many times did he extend the play and make a bigger play out of it that if he would have thrown it away, it wasn't there? And so that he has this ability, this uncanny ability to do that. And you never want to take that away from a guy. Now you don't want to take a lot of sacks either. So there's a fine line in that. But he makes way more plays than sacks taken. So again, you live with that a little bit, and like I said, I just can't say enough good things about how well Jalen's playing and taking care of the football and getting us in and out of plays, making big plays in moments that we need it, big runs, big throws. You don't win 16 games in a year and your quarterback not playing efficient, solid football, and I think that's what we're seeing.
Nick Sirianni here with us right now. Nick, more on Jalen. How's the knee? And do you expect him to practice tomorrow?
Yeah, you know, that we obviously play that each day. You know, I know he'll do everything he can do to be at his top strength. I know he's a warrior. I know he will get himself ready to go. And we'll see tomorrow. We'll see tomorrow where he is and where the rest of the guys are when we get there.
Are you preparing game plan-wise confident that he will definitely play, or is there some uncertainty there?
Yeah, you know, you prepare for everything. He came back in the game, played in the game. We're preparing as, you know, with him being the quarterback, just like you go through each week. So, like I said, tomorrow where everybody is, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, Quinyon Mitchell, do you get a sense yet on his status?
We'll see.
No, I know.
We'll see tomorrow, and I hate not answering your guys' questions.
I understand,
but we're there. We're not there yet. You know, we play everything day by day,
sure.
And we're really hopeful, and. I know, again, Q's going to do everything he can do to get himself ready to go and be at top speed.
Nick, why does it feel like offensively the tempo offense seems to open things up for us?
Yeah, you know, a couple different reasons for that. I'm not going to get into too much of that, but, we've been successful at our tempo offense for the last couple years. And always been an emphasis for us of, you know, going fast. I think Jalen does a really nice job of, you know, playing fast at the line of scrimmage, getting the call, communicating the call to everybody, and defenses now has to, you know, they have to react, right? They don't have time to huddle up. They don't have time to recognize formations. They don't have time to call out, hey, it's first and 10, or expect this, or expect that. They got to get the call in and get everybody on the same page there, and then react to the play. So it's just been something that I think that we've excelled at as an offense for, you know, the last couple of years, and Jalen does a really nice job when he's at the line of scrimmage.
So much goes into getting ready for these games. The extra day of practice for the Commanders, how much does that help them this time of year?
You know, you never know, like, how they use that day. Did they use that day for rest? Did they use that extra day? Like, at this point in the year, you know, you're trying to get everybody healthy to get to the game. So it might be an extra day of rest, but I'm not sure they get an extra day of practice. I mean, we'll see how that goes. We'll see. You know, they have to put out a report anytime they practice anyway, so we'll see what they do with that. You know, I think we had an extra day going into L.A. They have an extra day going here into the L.A. game. They have an extra day here. We'll be ready. I know they'll be ready.
Nick, you sticking with Jake Elliott for Sunday? Obviously, a lot of missed kicks lately. You sticking by him?
Yes, for sure. For sure. You know, he's, 6 for 6 in the playoffs on field goals in adverse conditions. I got a lot of faith in Jake, and I know he's clutch when we need him to be clutch.
Does he have confidence issues?
No, I think Jake is pretty solid. I think if to see a guy miss a kick and then come back, I think it shows the exact opposite, actually. Like, to see a guy miss a kick and then come back under those circumstances and the conditions. Again, we'll never use the conditions as an excuse, but the conditions were the conditions. It's going to make it more difficult for any kicker to kick the ball. And I think it showed, again, like I said, it shows just the opposite. You know, he misses an extra point early in the game and then nails 3 field goals. So I think it shows just the opposite, that he is able to put the next, you know, embrace the adversity, put it in the past and play the current play, and that's what I love about Jake.
Sure. And facing Jaden Daniels, up and coming young quarterback, what makes Jaden Daniels so good?
Yeah, obviously he's having a phenomenal year. We've seen it watching it from afar. We've seen it in person, and this guy's a really good player. As we all see, I think he does a good job of being able to extend plays. He does a good job of reading plays out and being accurate with throws. It looks like he's a good player. He's a really good player, and we'll have to be ready to, you know, to contain him in this game.
Nick, final thing here. I know you like to keep it very similar week by week. I'm curious if demands on you have increased yet with the team deeper in the playoffs now. I mean, we know Super Bowl week, things are just, you know, wildly different. Have things kicked in yet in a different way, media-wise and otherwise, that create, you know, differences for you?
Yeah, you know, we keep it similar. I think I have one more press conference this week than I normally do. I think that's the rule, is that I got to do one on Thursday. So instead of Wednesday, Friday, I got Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So we'll keep it at that.
Gotcha. Yep. All right, Nick, good luck on Sunday. Needless to say, you got millions of people behind you and your squad for this game, and the city's really excited and proud of what you guys have accomplished, and the absolute best of luck for the game Sunday versus Washington.
All right, thanks, guys.
There it is. Nick Sirianni on this morning with Joe and John, talking about Jalen, little Jaden Daniels, Jake Elliott. And, Hugh, what I took from that was he's not giving anything away.
Playing
on
close
Jalen
to the vest.
Yep. And even Quinyon, he's not answering the question.
Yeah, because you got to prepare for everybody. This is all hands on deck, man. I would be surprised if Jalen doesn't play or Quinyon. This is it. Like, this is where people need to realize that this is the moment that you've worked so hard for. And you're going to do everything within your power to be prepared for this game and go above and beyond probably what's asked of you. Because let me tell you, it was funny because I was thinking this morning, I'm like, damn, it's about 20-some years ago where, if I'm not mistaken, it was this week where you get measured for rings. You get measured for Super Bowl rings.
Before you even make it.
Well, it's because it's you want to get all of that stuff out of the way.
Wow, that'd be a weird feeling.
Yeah, but it's a surreal moment. If I'm not mistaken, that's what we did. I remember being measured for rings because once whatever happens, because the NFC Championship game T-shirts are already printed. They're printed. They're done. Like, they're sitting in a box somewhere with the whomever, each team's name on it. That's a done deal. So now you're starting to, this week, you're making reservations. You're making family plans. You're preparing, regardless to what happens, For what happens after this.
Yep.
So that's why when people are sitting there talking about what we need to do, you need to do what you need to do to win. That's why, for me, Jalen's going to do whatever he has to do in order to get over this hump. And that's why it doesn't matter about people talking about, and no disrespect to the caller, talking about saving Saquon for this, that, and the third.
Yeah, I'm not into that.
Say, man, listen.
No, just go to win
this
the game.
This is it.
Go win the
this
game.
This is it. Ronnie Lott cut a finger off to be in one of these games.
And you know what? That guy's got rings.
You know what I'm saying? So anything that anybody's talking about today, being worried, I ain't worried about nothing. I'm worried about this weekend and doing what you have to do, because on paper, we are the better team. We are the most physical team. We are dominant.
To be clear, we're not asking for Jalen to cut his leg off. We're just having the discussion.
Trying to get out there like Lieutenant Dan. Yeah. Lieutenant Dan! No, he ain't trying to do all that.
Lieutenant Dan's a big game player. You can
tell.
Big time.
No question.
215-592-9494. Do the Eagles need Jalen Hurts' legs to beat the Commanders? Yes or no? Where do you come down on the idea of if he's immobile, not like he usually is, where he's very mobile and it's a big part of his game, can they still win this game if it's more one-dimensional, just drop-back passing, and just Saquon, no element of Jalen with his legs? Where do you come down? All your phone calls, those. Plus, Ray Dittinger on the passing game now and what the Eagles have to do in order to go all the way and get us to New Orleans in a couple weeks. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. We got a lot to do on the show, including Ross Tucker at 12:30. Very excited for his thoughts on this game and the AFC game. We really haven't spent much time or given much thought yet on a matchup we know well. The Bills and the Chiefs, of course, we'll see the winner if we get through this week in Super Bowl 59. And then later in the show, a breakdown of some really tough moments with the chant that we all know so well, E-A-G-L-E-S. It's not that hard. E-A-G-L-E-S. 215-592-9494 for Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Let's talk about bacon. Specifically, let's talk about Hatfield bacon. Y'all know how much I love bacon. The other day, I grilled some bacon on my smoker. It was awesome, man. It's delicious. And there are so many different flavors and cuts that you could choose from. Like hardwood smoked bacon, applewood smoked bacon. They got that thick cut hardwood smoked bacon. And then there's that extra thick cut maple brown sugar bacon. That's my favorite right there. I like that thick cut of bacon. So do yourself a favor and go get you some Hatfield bacon today. Head to simplyhatfield.com and put some pork on your fork.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. As we look ahead to Sunday, Eagles, Commanders, a spot in the in the Super Bowl on the line. It is the NFC Championship game. Do the Eagles need Jalen Hurts' running ability to beat Washington Sunday? When I say that, I mean his mobility, not just ability to run for 3 or 4 or 5 or 44 yards on a play, but just ability to move, a threat in the run game. Do they need it? 73% of our polls say yes. I say yes. Kyle says yes. Hugh says there's a way around it.
No.
Double tight end, Saquon Barkley.
Man, I'm running the ball. This game is different because you got a running back in Saquon Barkley who has changed his fortunes in one season. He's probably juiced. He's probably going to have trouble sleeping Saturday night. Man, let that man go. Let that man live his best life. Let that man run roughshod all over that Commodore's defense. Oh, I caught that.
It's part of the theme of the day. Welcome back.
Better not be standing around.
Well, I mean, if he's immobile, he's going to stand around. I mean, what do you expect him to do, Hugh? He's got a bad wheel. Welcome back.
Hey, you better do enough.
What's enough?
You can take off and run a couple. You know, he can run a couple plays. I don't expect, like, I'm not thick. I don't expect Jalen to be. Oh, look at that! Y'all took that and ran with it. I didn't mean it.
I'm not slow.
I'm not slow.
I know.
You know what I mean? They got thick wood heart.
I'm not slow.
But Jalen, when I think of it, say, for instance, and I always try to integrate myself into these moments thinking about what it would be like or what I think the defensive meeting would be if Jalen is playing, if we're playing against a guy like Jalen Hurts. Now, if he's out there, he's a threat. Now, to a caller's point, yeah, you have to make him – he has to show me that he can do it. But – how many times does he have to run outside the perimeter if I'm knifing inside as a defensive end to make me stop doing that? Because, see, I think people tend to forget he's not a Peyton Manning back there. He's not a statue. He has enough mobility that if it, and I don't know what the severity of his injury is, but I feel like if he's out there, he has enough ability to escape and get to the edge and gain a few yards. That's enough.
So I hope, but I don't know if he's going to have that. I mean, I don't know what it's going to look like Sunday.
I think he will.
They didn't even run the tush push Sunday. And again, they may have been uncertain of what the injury was. He may have been pain. This week, we'll see how this week goes along. Nick Sirianni, you're going to hear his whole interview with Joe and John coming up in a few minutes. He said we'll see. I'm just saying, if they don't have any running ability from him Sunday, I think this is going to be a big challenge.
See, and that's the thing. I think there will be. I think if Jalen's out there, then that's on the table. Because the one thing that you never do as a professional athlete, injuries are not a fact. They're not an excuse when you're out there on the field. So if Jalen's out there, people are thinking about like the offense might be limited to a certain extent, but I don't think it's going to be limited to the point where Jalen can't roll out of the pocket or Jalen can't extend a play or things of that nature. I think that's what when people say that or think that, that's what they're thinking. I think some of those plays where Jalen runs the ball, that's instincts that take over.
Sure.
It might be designed, but some of that's instincts.
Oh, I think so too.
He does what he feels is right in the moment. I don't think he's going to be that guy as far as instincts are concerned, as far as taking off and running it down the field for 40 yards. But as far as his mobility is concerned and things of that nature, I think he can do that.
Let's go to Terrence in Springfield. What's up, Terrence?
Hey, Joe Kyle. What's up, man?
Hey, Terrence. What's up, buddy?
Now, I feel like he has to use his arms and his legs. But here's the thing. I was saying yesterday how Jalen Hurts, he's not a gunslinger and all that. So he's gonna have to find a way, like you said, they're going to test him. From the beginning of the game, if he's in the RPO and he had to hand the ball up to Saquon, or he got to keep it himself, they're going to test him. They're going to crash down, and they're going to test that nigga and see if Jalen Hurts can run. And I feel like the last game, I know Joe, you said that he gave up, he had 7 sacks, but he couldn't move. I feel like that was the offensive line worst game of the season. On some of them plays, Virch was getting through. He was beast mode on them guys for a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of let down at our offensive line. I know it was snowing. I know they're saying the foot traction, but he was getting through whenever he wanted. And one play that when he got in the end zone on the safety, Cam Jurgens got knocked back.
He got young boys, pretty much. He got sons. And I'm going to put all the X factors in the game. AJ Brown dropped the touchdown. We had the kicker. Missed two extra points and a field goal. Lane Johnson caught the touchdown. And I said Cam Durgan's on the safety. Like you said, we got to score. And I feel like 24 points is the ceiling. I feel like our defense can hold it down. But we got to be careful, man, like what we asked for. We've been criticizing Jalen all year. And we're one critical play where if Jalen Hurts gets hurt, we're going to see Cam or Kenny Pickett in a game.
Well, Terrence, I was afraid we were going to see it Sunday. I mean, when he came down with that knee, I was like, oh, no.
You're about to see Kenny Two Gloves.
Yeah, it's about to be Kenny Two Gloves
time. I'm so tired of hearing everybody criticizing Jalen. Like, be careful what you ask for. Be careful how much you criticize, because sooner or later, you might get your wish.
Well, yeah, also, without his legs, Terrence, good phone call as always. Without his legs, like, it's part of who he is. Like, we can't separate Jalen's mobility from the player he is. That's why he's as good as he is. It's not because just his arm. It's also because of his legs. All right, let's hear Nick Sirianni this morning on with John and Joe. Talk about Hurts, the game, Jake Elliott, all of it. Here it was this morning.
About that game and more, let's talk to the Eagles head coach as the Birds continue to march on. Of course, the Eagles in Washington on Sunday. And congratulations goes out to the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, Nick Sirianni. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Nick, congrats on the win. I mean, what was the experience like for you coaching in that game? The crazy weather, the adversity, the intensity, pulling it out. What was it like to coach in a game like that from your perspective?
You know, we treat every game exactly the same. I know that's boring, but we treat every game exactly the same. Now, that doesn't mean that when the snow's on the ground, excuse me, it doesn't bring you back to childhood memories of how cool it would be to play and coach in those days or in those things, but in those elements. But we went about our business, played the game how we needed to play the game to win. And it's fun. You know, it was a great win. And it's kind of cool to see the guys, you know, celebrating in the snow, after they make plays. All it did is make us hungry to get another one.
Nick, in a fourth quarter scenario like what it became in the final couple minutes, do you have time to be nervous? And what I mean by that is, like, millions of us were living and dying with every play. We don't have to call signals or, you know, substitutions. Like, do you have time? Do you feel nervous in moments like that? Or do you just have to stay so locked in that that perspective doesn't even enter your mind?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I think, your nerves come before the game. Once you get in the game, you're in your routine. You're in the things that you do. You go through your process. So your mind is locked in on – it can't be locked in on being nervous, because you're locked in on what you have to do and what the guys are doing and how you need to win the football game. Now, to that, you know, my brother was talking to me and said, you know, I just walked around the city for about – he wasn't at the game. He was with his daughter in Columbus, Ohio. He's like, I just walked around the city of Columbus for the last 2 hours pacing because I couldn't watch the game. So I think that's more of a, you know, a spectator thing, I think, at the end of the day, because, you know, you have to be so locked in and focused on what you have to do to help your team win, playing, coaching, everything. And so you don't have time to do that. And so you're just locked into the moment at the end of the day.
Nick, we watched Jalen Carter locked in, and he's just good beyond good, like legendary good. How different is it coaching a guy like that, a legendarily good guy?
Yeah, you know, he made some huge plays in that game, and it just in huge moments. He's special. And I think the things that – obviously he's highly talented – and with his athletic ability, with his size, with his, you know, everything. But what goes unnoticed, I think, sometimes is his football IQ and his football instincts. I think that takes him to another level of, you know, the type of player that he is. He just has great instincts to where the football is, how to get to the quarterback, how to get to the quarterback on a single team, how to get to the quarterback on a double team. You know, how to take the football away. And I think those things are the things that have made him, have a special year. And he just continues to get better. Again, you combine talent with toughness. You combine talent with football instinct. You combine talent with, you know, loving the game of football, and you're going to get a guy that continues to get better, and I think that's what we're seeing with Jalen.
Yeah, you talk about instincts, and then you can talk about study, and what we saw from Jalen was changing the play at the line of scrimmage. You know, our quarterback is studied up and getting in the right play at the right time. Coach, if you had to guess, what percentage of the time does Jalen end up changing stuff up at the line of scrimmage?
You know, quarterback has to do a lot at the line of scrimmage. He has to get the protection call from the offensive line. He's got to change things there. You know, sometimes it's not just changing a play. You know, sometimes it's changing, you know, the direction the line may be going
sure.
in. You know, and so that's pretty standard. And I think that, you know, he does a lot of things well to get us in and out of plays. And I think that's, you know, that's really a tribute to Jalen. And how his mind works at the line of scrimmage. And so he's just done a great job of helping us get in and out of right plays to help us. You know, I know, you know, there's run looks that he gets us into a certain look that allows those to go for a big play. It's never just one person in this game that makes big plays happen, right? It takes everybody. It takes the entire team. And that's what's so cool about football. And Jalen's doing a really nice job of getting us in and out of plays.
And I agree. And we saw a lot of him doing the conservative thing in this game, changing the plays but doing conservative things. And it felt like he was eating it so often against the Rams. Why did it feel like he was eating it instead of throwing it away more often than not?
You know, Jalen's made so many plays, extending plays. And I think that sometimes, you know, you see a sack and you're like, man, the sack that killed us, that sack, right? And it's never just one thing of why a sack happens, right? There's many things that contribute to a sack. But Jalen knows he can get out of a lot of things, and he has gotten out of a lot of things, meaning he's been able to extend plays so well, you know, and extend plays and throw the ball down the field, extend plays and run the ball down the field. Sometimes those get overlooked. Okay, we took five sacks or whatever it was, seven sacks in the game. But how many times did he extend the play and make a bigger play out of it that if he would have thrown it away, wasn't there? And so that he has this ability, this uncanny ability to do that. And you never want to take that away from a guy. Now you don't want to take a lot of sacks either. So there's a fine line in that. But he makes way more plays than sacks taken. So again, you live with that a little bit, and like I said, I just can't say enough good things about how well Jalen's playing and taking care of the football and getting us in and out of plays, making big plays in moments that we need it, big runs, big throws. You don't win 16 games in a year and your quarterback not playing efficient, solid football, and I think that's what we're seeing.
Nick Sirianni here with us right now. Nick, more on Jalen. How's the knee? And do you expect him to practice tomorrow?
Yeah, you know, that we obviously play that each day. You know, I know he'll do everything he can do to be at his top strength. I know he's a warrior. I know he will get himself ready to go. And we'll see tomorrow. We'll see tomorrow where he is and where the rest of the guys are when we get there.
Are you preparing game plan-wise confident that he will definitely play, or is there some uncertainty there?
Yeah, you know, you prepare for everything. He came back in the game, played in the game. We're preparing as, you know, with him being the quarterback, just like you go through each week. So, like I said, tomorrow where everybody is, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, Quinyon Mitchell, do you get a sense yet on his status?
We'll see.
No, I know.
We'll see tomorrow, and I hate not answering your guys' questions.
I understand,
but I don't want to put, you know, I don't want, you know, we don't, we're there, we're not there yet. You know, we play everything day by day,
sure.
And we're really hopeful, and you know, I know, again, Q's going to do everything he can do to get himself ready to go and be at top speed.
Nick, why does it feel like offensively the tempo offense seems to open things up for us?
Yeah, you know, a couple different reasons for that. I'm not going to get into too much of that, but, you know, we've been successful at our tempo offense for the last couple years.
And always been an emphasis for us of, you know, going fast. I think Jalen does a really nice job of, you know, playing fast at the line of scrimmage, getting the call, communicating the call to everybody, and defenses now has to, you know, they have to react, right? They don't have time to huddle up. They don't have time to recognize formations. They don't have time to call out, hey, it's first and 10, or expect this, or expect that. They got to get the call in and get their everybody on the same page there, and then react to the play. So it's just been something that I think that we've excelled at as an offense for, you know, the last couple of years, and Jalen does a really nice job when he's at the line of scrimmage.
So much goes into getting ready for these games. The extra day of practice for the Commanders, how much does that help them this time of year?
You know, you never know, like, how they use that day. Did they use that day for rest? Did they use that extra day? Like, at this point in the year, you know, you're trying to get everybody healthy to get to the game. So it might be an extra day of rest, but I'm not sure they get an extra day of practice. I mean, we'll see how that goes. We'll see, you know, they have to put out a report anytime they practice anyway, so we'll see what they do with that. You know, I think we had an extra day going into L.A. They have an extra day going here. Into the L.A. game. They have an extra day here. We'll be ready. I know they'll be ready.
Nick, you sticking with Jake Elliott for Sunday? Obviously, a lot of missed kicks lately. You sticking by him?
Yes, for sure. For sure. You know, he's, 6 for 6 in the playoffs on field goals and in adverse conditions. I got a lot of faith in Jake, and I know he's clutch when we need him to be clutch.
Does he have confidence issues?
No, I think Jake is pretty solid. I think if to see a guy miss a kick and then come back, I think it shows the exact opposite, actually. Like, to see a guy miss a kick and then come back under those circumstances and the conditions, again, we'll never use the conditions as an excuse, but the conditions were the conditions. It's going to make it more difficult for any kicker to kick the ball. And I think it shows, again, like I said, it shows just the opposite. You know, he misses an extra point early in the game, and then nails 3 field goals. So I think it shows just the opposite, that he is able to put the next, you know, embrace the adversity, put it in the past and play the current play. And that's what I love about Jake.
Sure. And facing Jaden Daniels, up and coming young quarterback, what makes Jaden Daniels so good?
Yeah, obviously he's having a phenomenal year. We've seen it. We've seen it watching it from afar. We've seen it in person, and this guy's a really good player. As we all see, I think he does a good job of being able to extend plays. He does a good job of reading plays out and being accurate with throws. It looks like he's a good player. He's a really good player, and we'll have to be ready to, you know, to contain him in this game.
Nick, final thing here. I know you like to keep it very similar week by week. I'm curious if demands on you have increased yet with the team deeper in the playoffs now. I mean, we know Super Bowl week, things are just, you know, wildly different. Have things kicked in yet in a different way, media-wise and otherwise, to create, you know, differences for you?
Yeah, you know, we keep it similar. I think I have one more press conference this week than I normally do. I think that's the rule, is that I got to do one on Thursday. So instead of Wednesday, Friday, I got Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So we'll keep it at that.
Gotcha. Yep. All right, Nick, good luck on Sunday. Needless to say, you got millions of people behind you and your squad for this game, and the city's really excited and proud of what you guys have accomplished, and the absolute best of luck for the game Sunday versus Washington.
All right, thanks, guys.
There it is. Nick Sirianni on this morning with Joe and John, talking about Jalen, little Jaden Daniels, Jake Elliott. And Hugh, what I took from that was he's not giving anything away.
Playing
on
close
Jalen
to the vest.
Yep. And even Quinyon, he's not answering the question.
Yeah, because you got to prepare for everybody. This is all hands on deck, man. I would be surprised if Jalen doesn't play or Quinyon. This is it. Like, this is where people need to realize that this is the moment that you've worked so hard for, and you're going to do everything within your power to be prepared for this game and go above and beyond probably what's asked of you. Because let me tell you, it was funny because I was thinking this morning, I'm like, damn, about 20-some years ago where, if I'm not mistaken, it was this week where you get measured for rings. You get measured for Super Bowl rings.
Before you even make it.
Well, it's because it's you want to get all of that stuff out of the way.
Wow, that'd be a weird feeling.
Yeah, but it's a surreal moment. If I'm not mistaken, that's what we did. I remember being measured for rings because once whatever happens, because the NFC Championship game T-shirts are already printed. They're printed. They're done. Like they're sitting in a box somewhere with the whomever each team's name on it. That's a done deal. So now you're starting to this week. You're making reservations. You're making family plans. You're preparing, regardless to what happens, for what happens after this.
Yep.
So that's why when people are sitting there talking about what we need to do, you need to do what you need to do to win. That's why for me, Jalen's going to do whatever he has to do in order to get over this hump. And that's why it doesn't matter about people talking about, and no disrespect to the caller, talking about saving Saquon for this, that, and the third.
Yeah, I'm not into that.
Say, man, listen.
No, just go to win
this
the game.
This is it.
Go win the
this
game.
This is it. Ronnie Lott cut a finger off to be in one of these games.
And you know what? That guy's got rings.
You know what I'm saying? So anything that anybody's talking about today, being worried, I ain't worried about nothing. I'm worried about this weekend and doing what you have to do because on paper, we are the better team. We are the most physical team. We are dominant.
To be clear, we're not asking for Jalen to cut his leg off. We're just having the discussion.
Trying to get out there like Lieutenant Dan. Yeah. Lieutenant Dan! No, he ain't trying to do all that.
Lieutenant Dan's a big game player. You can tell.
Big time.
No question. 215-592-9494. Do the Eagles need Jalen Hurts' legs to beat the Commanders? Yes or no? Where do you come down on the idea of if he's immobile, not like he usually is, where he's very mobile and it's a big part of his game, can they still win this game if it's more one-dimensional, just drop-back passing, and just Saquon, no element of Jalen with his legs? Where do you come down? All your phone calls, those. Plus, Ray Dittinger on the passing game now and what the Eagles have to do in order to go all the way and get us to New Orleans in a couple weeks. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. We got a lot to do on the show, including Ross Tucker at 12:30. Very excited for his thoughts on this game and the AFC game. We really haven't spent much time or given much thought yet on a matchup we know well. The Bills and the Chiefs, of course, we'll see the winner if we get through this week in Super Bowl 59. And then later in the show, a breakdown of some really tough moments with the chant that we all know so well, E-A-G-L-E-S. It's not that hard. E-A-G-L-E-S. 215-592-9494 for Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Let's talk about bacon. Specifically, let's talk about Hatfield bacon. Y'all know how much I love bacon. The other day, I grilled some bacon on my smoker. It was awesome, man. It's delicious. And there are so many different flavors and cuts that you could choose from. Like hardwood smoked bacon, applewood smoked bacon. They got that thick cut hardwood smoked bacon. And then there's that extra thick cut maple brown sugar bacon. That's my favorite right there. I like that thick cut of bacon. So do yourself a favor and go get you some Hatfield bacon today. Head to simplyhatfield.com and put some pork on your fork.